If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John, chapter number 11 is where we'll start. John chapter number 11. Now we're going to be going through some verses, but here's the good news. They're kind of in sequential order, one right after the other. John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, but you wouldn't want me to cover all the verses between John chapter 11 and John chapter 16, I don't think, today. Now, next week is Easter Sunday, and this week is typically known as Palm Sunday. I'm not particularly going to be preaching on Palm Sunday, but I'm going to be preaching on the last words of Jesus, because Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. See, there was a change that took place after a certain event, and we're going to talk about that event, but things really began to ramp up after this took place. And Jesus left a message for his disciples. He was, you know, if you know that your time is short, what would you want to instill in your children? What would you want them to know? I my dad passed away a couple years ago, and there's just some things that come back and remind me of him. I went to the hospital this week, and I got in a truck, and it was his truck. And I've had the truck for over a year, but I was putting the key in the ignition, and I look down, and I see some scratches around the ignition, you know. And I know he was having a rough time toward the end, and I could see him missing the ignition and putting the key in. I had dinner with my stepmom, and she gave me a box of pictures that she said, I didn't even know he had these pictures. And all the time that they'd been married, and they were pictures of him as a baby and pictures of my grandfather, and, my grandfather as a shrimper. And we look back on those times, and we remember things come to mind, and we look back on them, and we see them in a different light when they're gone. And even more so, if you know your time is short, what do you want to pass on? What do you want your children to remember? And Jesus knew that he was going to face the crucifixion. Jesus knew that people were going to be reviling him and hating him. He knew about every stroke of the whip. He knew about the crown of thorns. He knew about everything that took place. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, all that weighed on his mind, and he sweat great drops of blood. But even with all that coming, he said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So things began to change, because in John chapter number 11 is the resurrection of Lazarus. And that's not what we're going to preach on today, but this is where we see things begin to change. And after his resurrection, you know what took place with Lazarus. Mary and Martha meet Jesus, and it's two very different meetings. You remember Martha was the one that was cumbered about with much serving. You remember Mary was the one that sat at the feet of Jesus, and she had listened to him while he was here. She knew that time was short. And we see the different reactions of Martha going and saying, if you had been here, my brother had not been dead. We see Mary going to him and crying. She was the one that brought Jesus to tears. That shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. It was because of her coming to Jesus. In verse number 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And verse 35, Jesus wept. And Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life, it was kind of a prophecy of what was going to take place. It was kind of a preview of what was going to take place. And there was different reactions to what had taken place. Verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, He was always thinking about what other people would learn from the lesson. And thank you for the water. But in verse number 41, they took away the stone. He said, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So here's one reaction. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Some believed. And in verse 46, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So some questioned, or some went to the Pharisees, that there was their religious authority. And rather than believing on Jesus, they went to the Pharisees. And then the Pharisees, verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doth many miracles. Verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. That's another thing that keeps people from Christ. They're more worried about their position or their place in the society. They're more worried about losing what they have. And that's why Jesus talked about giving up what you have to gain, you know, what will you give in exchange for your soul? And one of them named Caiaphas, a high priest, that same year said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Now, if you're just reading and you stop there, there's something that comes to mind, that one man should die for the nation and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, of being high priest that year. He prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And verse 53, we see the change that takes place after Lazarus' resurrection. Because up until that time, Jesus had been going around, he'd been performing miracles, and people were believing on him or not, but he'd been performing miracles, he'd been showing God's power, he'd been teaching them. But verse 53 says, then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. And Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And it says, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. So then we get to chapter number 12, because everything's changed now. And we see that change that takes place, and there's some that realize what's coming. Jesus has been teaching, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and she had listened to what he had to say. And something very special happens in John chapter number 12, and we see that she, and let's look at it. He goes to the house of Lazarus, the one who had been brought back from the dead. Said, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. In verse number 3, we have the beautiful picture. We have Mary on her feet. She's listened to Jesus. She's worshiped Jesus. And she knows something that others in that room don't realize, even though Jesus has been telling them the same thing. And she not only knows it, but she's prepared for it. In verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now that's a whole sermon into itself, going into the cost of this oil, going into the cost of the perfume. I think it was a year's worth of pay. It was something that she had set aside, something that was very precious. And there was reactions to that. You had one that was worshiping him, and then you have Judas Iscariot, who's showing his colors. We know that Judas is going to betray Jesus. And it's only fitting, because there's some people you can tell that there's something in their heart by the way they react to things. by the way they react to someone coming to Christ. But, you know, well, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. We'll see how, yeah, they're going to church now. We'll see how long that lasts. And that's a church member talking sometimes. Verse number 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And then this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Verse number 7, and this is a key verse here, because we're talking about a change is coming forward. We're talking about knowing ahead of time what Jesus is about to suffer. And he gave these hints, and he passed it on to them. He said, then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying, as she kept this. She was preparing for the day of his burial. He knew her heart. He knew what was in her heart. She knew what was coming. She might not have known the day. She might not have realized when exactly it was going to come or how it was going to come, but God had moved on her heart, and she had prepared herself, and she was given over to weep for him. And he said, for the poor, verse number 8, for the poor always you have with you, but be you have not always. And I'll just read 9. But much of the people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And then verse number 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, I tell you all that as an introduction, because there's some things that Jesus passed on to his disciple. And every Sunday I say, well, this is one of my favorite passages. This is one of my favorite passages. This is one of my favorite passages. From John 14 all the way to 16, it's one of my go-to passages where I see Jesus passing on to the disciples what's going to take place. And Jesus had some things to pass on to them before he was crucified. Look at John chapter number 12. In John chapter number 12, verse 23. Oh, I just want to read all of it. But verse 23, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant that, you know, it's just like the Pharisees. They loved their position with Rome. They loved their place in society. And they were hanging on to that life, but they were giving up eternal life, because not only did they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, but they were going to be crucifying him. They said from that day, they set out how they could kill him. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He said, now, verse number 27, now is my soul troubled, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Look at verse 27. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And we see the people that don't believe. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And this message pointed together, we see the contrast in things that are taking place. We see the people that are believing Jesus. We see the people that are going against Jesus. We see the people that are denying Jesus. And in all of this, and I guess I want to pull it back in, but Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he taught them some lessons in that. John 12:16 says, "These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him." So to pull this back into the last words that Jesus gave, because I started to sidetrack a little bit there. But the last words that he wanted his disciples to know, these were the last lessons that he wanted them to remember. And one of them was the lesson. He taught Peter a lesson of denial. We know that Peter denied Jesus. Peter was relying on himself. Peter was relying on his strength. The more I study that, the more I come to realize that Peter was ready to fight. And when he realized that there wasn't going to be a fight, he didn't know what to do. And that's the way a lot of us, you join the church and it's like, I've been a lawyer, I've been a singer. I've been a singer for years and I'm joining the church and I'm going to use my talent for God. And God says, I don't need a singer. I need a servant. And it'll deflate your ego. Whatever it is that I've been a mechanic for years and I can contribute to the church in this way. And God says, we don't need a mechanic right now. We need someone to sit at the feet of Jesus and someone to learn. But Peter he was caught up in his own head, and Jesus said that he would deny him, and Peter denied him. And it was a lesson that Peter learned that he never forgot. John 13:37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. In John 13:38, Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. When the wind was taken out of Peter's sails, when he tried to cut the servant's ear off and Jesus healed it and told him to put away his sword, and he lost all of his motivation and he didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden he's denying Jesus because he doesn't want to get caught up in things that he doesn't understand. But we see him brought back in John chapter 21. There was also the lesson of service. Look at John chapter 13, verse number 1. John chapter 13. There was the lesson of service. And Jesus didn't just give words, but he taught them. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. And you see how John puts that in there? He says in verse number 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. In other words, Jesus, knowing that he would be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, knowing that one day there's a battle that comes when he on the white horse, he rides in and he, during the tribulation, I don't want to get caught up in all that, but knowing what was going to take place, knowing that all things are put under his feet, knowing that he was there from the beginning of creation, knowing all of this, John wants us to make sure and know, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. I think it's Colossians said, and thought it not robbery, but thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse number 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do now, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He was giving them lessons to remember. And this one lesson was a lesson of service. What wasn't said? Peter, one day you're going to be an apostle and people are going to be following you in my name. One day you're going to be a pastor, Peter, and people are going to be listening to you. But you don't need to forget that you're there to wash your feet. You're there to take care of them. You're not there to lord over them. You're not there for a position. The Pharisees love their position. They love their place. But Peter, one day you're going to need to be humble enough not to lord over the sheep. You'll be a shepherd of the flock, but not a lord over the flock. It doesn't just apply to pastors. It's really easy for everybody to nod their head yes. Oh, that's great. Bring the pastor down to the level. I'm not being defensive here, but what I'm saying is this applies to every one of us in whatever position you have. Mother, father, brother, sister, friend, boss. It applies in your life too. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verse number 7, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And then Peter, as he was reserved and thoughtful about everything and always thought it out, I'm being sarcastic here because Peter was pretty impulsive. And Simon Peter saith unto him, verse number 9, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Be careful not to turn that into doctrine. Jesus was teaching a lesson to him about humility, about self-denial, about service. And then he taught him about brotherly love. Look at verse number 34. Verse number 34. Go back to verse 32. Go back to verse 32. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another, a brotherly love. You know that loving God and having no thought for your brothers in Christ, your brothers and sisters, it's like, well, I'm saved, but I just can't stand the church. I'm saved, but those people are whacked. I've trusted Christ, but it's his followers I have a problem with. He says, a new commandment I give unto you. And it's brotherly love he was trying to teach them, because there was going to come a time when they would need to support each other. We see in the book of Acts, we see persecution, we see stoning, we see martyrdom, we see Saul, going from house to house. And they would need each other. And we need each other even now. And around the world, there's brothers and sisters in Christ that need us. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. So there was the lesson of brotherly love, the lesson of denial, the lesson of service, and the lesson of brotherly love. And we see in John 15, John chapter 15, look at verse number 9. And keep your place because we'll be going back. John chapter 15. Verse number 9, and then this was when Jesus was talking about being the vine and the fruit, and look at verse number 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you can keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If you don't have joy in Christ, maybe that's one of the things that's missing is your love for your fellow brothers in Christ. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth much fruit. And he was talking to the disciples here, right? You look at the context and you say, well, he was talking to the disciples about loving one another. I don't think there's a problem with brotherly love here, but I want to point this out because this is one of the lessons that Jesus was passing down. And when he was talking to the disciples, he also had you in mind. Because when you... I got ahead of myself. But he says, verse numbers 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I've heard people use these to say, well, see, you got to keep his commandments to love him. You got to keep, you know, thou shalt not steal that. We should keep the commandments. We should follow them. Jesus summarized them into two commandments, two great commandments. And it's basically to love God and love others. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. If you love God, you won't worship other gods. If you love God, you won't blaspheme God's name. If you love God, you won't build up idols in your heart. That covers some of the commandments. If you love others, you won't steal from them. If you love others, you won't try to steal their spouse. If you love others, you won't kill them. Love God and love others. Jesus didn't take away the commandments. He didn't convert them. He just showed you what they were meant to put into your heart. Paul talked about how the law couldn't do that. But Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Keep my commandment. And here, you see everything tied up into that one commandment. Because when you love Jesus, you're loving God. And when you love your brothers, you're loving others. So there's the lesson of brotherly love. And then there's the lesson of the place prepared. He wanted them to know that when he went away, they weren't able to go with him. But that he was preparing a place for them. And he's also preparing a place for us. Remember, we're looking at this in context, the last words, things you want them to remember. You know, when you read throughout the New Testament, when you read Paul, and we've been reading through Thessalonians, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. What was he talking about? He's talking about the rapture. He's talking about the resurrection. He was talking about eternity in heaven. He was talking about over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in a blink of an eye, so will we evermore be with the Lord in the air. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The tribulation comes, persecution comes, all of this comes, but at the end, we get to see Jesus. Whatever you've gone through in this life, when it comes to the end, when you're facing darkness and when you're facing those final days, whatever's gone on before you, you're walking through one door and into heaven. And we have that to look forward to. And it doesn't mean that we check out here on earth until then, because he had other lessons for them. And he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And one of my favorites, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's a place prepared. The future is taken care of. And then one of the other lessons he wanted them to know, there was also a power to be revealed. Because Jesus wasn't just leaving them helpless. He wasn't just leaving them to wander about, finishing out the rest of their life, remembering those times walking with Jesus Christ. For us, we don't have those memories. For us, we can't look back on walking with Jesus Christ. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's something that happens. There's a fellowship with God that happens. And here Jesus wanted them to know, this is what's going to happen when I leave. Look at John 14:16. He tells them about a power to be revealed. He says, John 14:16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send him, John 14:26. So John 14:16, he tells about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Right now, the Spirit was with them, and in the future, it would be in them. And that happened. That takes place over in Acts chapter number 2. In verse 25, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Well, that's great. So I get saved and I get all the knowledge that God wants me to have. But look what he says here. He said, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. It's the Holy Ghost that brought it back to him. The Comforter to arrive. And then look at John 15:26. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it's your seal until the day of salvation, but it is also testifies, Spirit bearing witness with this Spirit. But he also wanted to let them know. And it's comforting for us to know. But with everything that was going to come, they were going to see him die on the cross, and he knew it. They were going to experience the loss, and he knew it. And there were things that he wanted them to know. He wanted them to know that it wasn't going to be a bed of roses. He wanted them to know that everything wasn't going to go smooth. He wanted them to know about a persecution that there was to endure. Look at John chapter 15 again. John chapter 15, number 17. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Tie him back to the lesson. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. He said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth the Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now have they both seen and both hated me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And that's when he ties in. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So tying that down in a persecution to endure. Look at John chapter 16. With all of this, it was about to take place. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the real world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Yet I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. And that's the part I was going to get to, about the Holy Spirit revealing things that you see. The more you get into God's word, the more the Holy Spirit can work in your life. The more you get into prayer, the more the Holy Spirit can work in your life. And the Holy Spirit doesn't empower you to perform miracles for people. The Holy Spirit doesn't empower you to become an apostle of God. The Holy Spirit empowers you to draw closer to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit empowers you to have the joy of Christ in your life and that peace that passeth all understanding. And the Holy Spirit is there to testify of that day. Yes, there is a heaven coming. Yes, there is an eternity with God. The Holy Spirit testifies in you, and there's just those little, sometimes, and this, I'm stepping out of the Bible a little bit, but with the Bible, there's just sometimes in your heart when the Holy Spirit moves on you. It'll convict you of sin when you're about to get into it. And you can get to the point where you can quench it, and your conscience can be seared with a hot iron, and you can just not even feel that you're doing wrong. And you know some people like that, and you may have been like that at one time or another in your life, but if you get to that point, that's when you draw closer to Jesus. When you feel like you can't read the word, that's when you need to read God's word the most. And that's what Jesus wanted them to know. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. I'm not going to be around anymore. You were able to follow me, and you were able to see the miracles that I performed. Those miracles, they were great, and there were some people that flocked around Jesus, and they said, we would see Jesus. We want to know more. We know that he raised Lazarus from the dead. We know that he healed the blind man and made him see. We know that the deaf man could hear. We know that the lame man could walk. We just wanted to see these miracles because they were looking for a magic show. Those miracles came from God to show that Jesus came from God. And that was the purpose of the miracles. When Jesus came, when they came across the man who was lame from his birth or blind from his birth, they said, the disciples said, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither, but that I might work the works of him that sent me. Those miracles point us to Jesus Christ, and those blessings in the Christian life, they point you to Jesus Christ. They aren't the reason for coming to Jesus Christ. So many people make that mistake. We talked about persecution this morning, and you know, there's been stars that have come out, and they've begun to believe in Jesus Christ. You don't really know what they believe, but they're talking about Jesus Christ, so you really want to hold on to, they got somebody led them to the Lord. Somebody got them saved. I've heard it about different people down through the ages. What is it? I can't even think of their names right now. I don't want to start trying to. But they're up there. Their name is big. They've got large companies. And there is a lot to lose at that level. And you know, the more they make, the bigger everything gets, the more you have to lose. Jesus said it's easier for a rich man to go through a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and then for a rich man to make it into heaven. Not because there's some doctrinal reason if you have money that you can't get to heaven, but because you don't want to let it go. He wanted them to know that the Holy Spirit was there to teach them, that they wouldn't be left alone. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And there was a persecution to come. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then the last that I want to share with you in John chapter 17. There was a power that was revealed, but there was a prayer that was made. Verse number one, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The crucifixion's coming. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. John really picked up on that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, that's where Jesus was. And God said, that's where Jesus was. Verse number 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. They understood and they believed that Jesus wasn't just some prophet. Jesus wasn't just some good man. Jesus wasn't just a teacher, but he was sent from God and that he was God. Verse number nine, he wasn't just praying for the apostles. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. We like to pray for world peace, but we kind of need to focus a little bit. Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name thou those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, which the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. We live in a world of evil. We want to be delivered. Sometimes we just have to go through it. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, verse number 20, this is where you get in here. He was praying for the disciples. He was praying for the 12 that followed him. Well, for the 11. verse number 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now, that is about the only apostolic succession I know is people passing on the word of God, telling them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we try to help God out. We try to do this and we try to do that. And somehow that message gets left out often about the death, burial, and the resurrection, about why Jesus Christ died for our sins, about a hell to come but a heaven to be gained. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's verse number 20. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That's how you get into the body of Christ. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, and they have made perfect, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. We see the lessons. We see the concern that Jesus showed for those that were coming. In the first part, we just laid the foundation for the resurrection coming. The ministry of the towel that Jesus taught them. The ministry of service through Peter's denial. That it may not always go like we want. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're not alone in this world, no matter where you may be. The promise of a place to go. And a prayer from Jesus for you.